Christ is among us. As the church continues to celebrate the great feast of the exaltation of the cross, the life-giving and precious cross, today our Lord Jesus the Christ gives you a challenge on how and what it means to follow our Lord. And so what's interesting is now, as our new liturgical year began on September 1st, we had, of course, the first great feast was for the Nativity of Our Lady, Theotokos. The second great feast of the liturgical year is the Feast of Life-Giving Cross. If you notice in your calendar, now all the Sundays will be called the first Sunday or the second Sunday and so forth after the Holy Cross. And our church now really focuses us on preparing for, yes, the pinnacle, the high point of the liturgical year, which of course is Great and Holy Week. So now already the church turns and faces the cross. And so on this Sunday, the Sunday after the great feast, the church is now going to be focused on the cross, walking with our Lord to Jerusalem. And now all the other feast days between the hour, we have the Nativity, might be a little step backwards, but the whole reason for the Nativity, the whole reason for the Incarnation, everything was about Christ setting his way toward the cross. And so today, the church herself turns towards the cross and our journey toward the high point of our liturgical year. And with that, the Lord gives this divine teaching. I quote him, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For anyone who would save his life will lose it. But anyone who loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." End of quote. In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul addressed also the theme of authentic discipleship, genuine discipleship. When we heard these words, and I quote him, "I am nailed to the cross. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who is living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live within the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." End of quote. What does it mean to take up the cross? What does it mean to be nailed to the cross? What does it mean to live the life of selfless love? Too many baptized faithful make the mistake, the grave error of beginning with, how do we change the world? How do we change society? How do we grow the church? How do we grow the Melkite outreach? And all of that is missing the starting point. The real question is, how do I change my life? The real starting point is the interior reconciliation. It begins with the cross. With the cross, the life-giving, precious cross, transforming me personally, transforming my heart first. Because it's out of the human heart that all sin comes. It's out of the human heart where all violence comes. It's where out of the human heart where all division begins. There's a story about Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a rather thin, slender man. He was walking down the sidewalk one day. He was the president of the United States. I think he was president, maybe not. Maybe he was he was president. He's walking down the street, and there was a young man running the opposite direction down the same sidewalk, and he just turns a corner and smashes right into Abraham Lincoln, knocking him down on the floor, knocking down the ground. And the young man yelled at the president, saying, "What's wrong with you, you Lincoln man? Why'd you wear my way?" And Abraham Lincoln looked right up at that young man's eyes. He said, "Young man, what's wrong with your heart?" That anger the man yelled at Abraham Lincoln was what was in his heart. Only the person who has a transformed heart, transformed from within, is going to be able to transform the world from without. Only the person who has a transformed interior life will be able to transform the exterior life. One of the great ascetics and a mystic of the church is Evagrius of Pontus. And Evagrius has some profound teachings about interior transformation. He lived in the 4th century, and through his own life of asceticism, his own life of intense prayer, this man ended up receiving incredible insights into the psyche of the human person. Psyche, the Greek word, that's for the soul. This man in the 4th century had come to incredible discoveries about human psychology that today psychologists are just now beginning to rediscover. And just a little side note, Evagrius is just one of many of these desert fathers who had profound insights into human psychology. And he taught that the human person has two selves. And the first self, Evagrius called the Christ self, and that's the original and defining self. That's the image of God. And the second self, he actually called the legion of other selves. These other selves are represented by the various and myriad thoughts, by all these competing feelings, by all these competing passions, all these competing emotions that we experience throughout the day in our lives. How I'm pulled in so many different directions. One minute I can love, the next minute I'm hating. One minute I'm calm, the next minute I'm angry. I got thoughts going all over my head, and where do these thoughts come from? Or as St. Paul writes to the Church of Rome, chapter 7, who identifies so well human psychology. Why do I not do the things I want to do, the good things I know I'm supposed to do? And why do I do the evil things that my mind tells me I should not do? From whence comes this division in my life? And Evagrius is pointing out the same thing. We are fragmented. We find ourselves split, such as the wound of sin, the ancestral sin. We find ourselves in pieces, being pulled in many different directions. But then there's that moment in our lives, for many of us, when we were babies, when it happened, that we received the gift of holy baptism, the mystery of baptism. And on that day, God awakened in our lives. He awakened in us the divine image. He awakened in us the Christ self. And from that moment on, he began to reorder all these other cells running around in our heart and our minds. Note. Evagrius points this out. He gives his teaching, and the other fathers say the same thing. Baptism does not destroy those other selves. No. He didn't destroy the passions. He didn't destroy the emotions. They're good. God created them. What does God do? God begins to reconcile all these other selves into the one Christ. Christ came to redeem everything, to bring all under his dominion, to bring again unity versus the division, disunity. The Christ self, begun in baptism, begins to restore, to reorder the fragmentation, to unify what's been divided. And the source of that unifying power, is charity, selfless love. Indeed, the whole of life, external and internal, is swallowed up in love. Godly love, selfless love. Everything in the entire cosmos is unified within the selfless love of God. St. Maximus the Confessor speaks of this reunification as, and I quote him, attaining perfect charity, sacrificial love. By reordering one's whole life with right ordered love. In other words, by losing ourselves in love, I find reorder. I find unity. The passions are good. The emotions are good. The only problem is they're just disoriented. They don't know how to love rightly. And God comes in, and he begins, the Christ self, as the Christ self arises, it begins to reorder all of our misguided and disoriented loves. With that understanding, then, let us ask ourselves this question. What is the denial of which Christ teaches? Is it to reject creation? Is it to curse creation? Is that why we fast? Because somehow the body and food are bad? No. No. In the Christian apostolic tradition, rejection is, the denial is not rejection of the other selves or of creation. The denial of which Christ teaches and of which the apostles teach, and which our Christian tradition teaches, is transforming all the other selves running around in us, all those disordered loves, transforming them, sacramentalizing them, bringing them all in line and under the dominion of our Lord Jesus the Christ and the God of selfless love. The Christ self is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, who transforms and directs everything as a symphony, not a cacophony. That's what he's doing. He's taking all those passions, all those desires, all those emotions, all those thoughts, and the Holy Spirit, because we become the new in the new creation of Christ, he's rewarding it all so it makes one single beautiful piece of music called human living. The whole inner world awakens when we are baptized and we become transformed. It's awakened to the power and the presence of God. And what do we begin to do? We begin to adopt the way of the cross. We begin to adopt the way of selfless love. We adopt the way of self-sacrifice. We adopt the way, we begin to live the way of humility. And all that we do, and all that we say, and all that we feel, and all that we may feel in emotions and passions, you want to know if you're experiencing transformation in your life, you will know by how much you love selflessly every single human being around you, how selflessly you love creation, how selflessly you love yourself. It is about right ordered love. That's the person who is experiencing divinization. The internal war of opposites, it comes to an end. And what happens? You begin to experience the peace that passes human understanding. That's what St. Paul says. You begin to experience the peace that even human understanding cannot comprehend. This peace envelops your whole life, inside and outside. And the world outside begins to mirror the peaceful inside, because we have become peace. And one who's become a peacemaker makes peace, brings peace, not war, not violence, not division. That's the saints. The saints did not bring violence and war and disunity. The saints brought unity, harmony, peace. And all that is not authentic love will wither away and fade, while right-ordered love becomes eternal. And that's why in the end, St. Paul teaches, the only thing that's going to remain is agape, charity, right-ordered love. So today and tomorrow, next couple of days, the church continues to exalt the life-giving precious cross, and we continue to venerate the cross. But let us also elevate, exalt in our daily lives, in our hearts, the reordering of our lives according to the way of selfless love. Yes, choosing the narrow and selfless path that Jesus the Christ walked himself, where it is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Christ self living in me. Christ is among us.